This is Tax Update for Saturday, January 14, 2006. Tax Update is intended for tax professionals and is not designed for those not skilled in independent tax research. All readers and listeners are expected to do their own research to confirm items raised in this presentation before relying upon the positions presented. The podcast and this document may be reproduced freely so long as no fee is charged for the use of the document. Such prohibited use would include using this podcast or document as part of a CPE presentation for which a fee is charged. This week's podcast, the continuing saga of the Form 8453 Schedule D issue. Schedule D meets e-filing and the IRS's new instructions meet e-filing. This podcast is sponsored by Limeburg Information Services, found on the web at www.limeburgservices.com. Limeburg Information Services publishes email newsletters on matters of interest to tax professionals, as well as providing a source for other important tax-related information to their subscribers. For information on subscribing to their services, visit them on the web at www.limeburgservices.com. Well, it's another Friday, and we have entry number 3 in the continuing saga of the question of the Schedule D revisions and what level of detail reporting is needed by taxpayers. This is the latest development that has come down today that modifies some of the guidance we've had earlier. The modification generally is taxpayer-friendly and preparer-friendly, but we'll go over kind of how we got here, where we're at, and what the status is of where we stand at this moment with the new guidance and what preparers need to be doing coming into this tax season. Hopefully, this will finalize the issue on Schedule D, and we actually can go back to talking about other tax-related matters without having this dominate the discussion as it has done for the past week or so. For those of you who haven't noticed, there was a large furor that began a couple of weeks back when the AICPA noticed that the IRS had revised the instructions to Schedule D. And those revised instructions seem to indicate that all entries for each transaction must be made directly on an IRS-approved Form D or D-1, Schedule D or D-1, and could not be made on attached schedules that would be referenced by saying "see attached." In fact, the instructions in question specifically said do not enter C attached and summary totals from an attachment in lieu of reporting the details of each transaction directly on Schedule D or D-1. Seemed fairly clear, also seemed fairly draconian to most of us since for many years we have been attaching the detailed reporting information that gave all of the information requested on D-1, but for which we did not have to do a separate data entry into the tax programs to produce a D-1 to get that document out. In essence, many of the brokerages had provided these forms. The IRS last Friday, in a revision we discussed on a special edition podcast that I put out over the weekend, came back and said, oh, well, we need to clarify what we meant. And what they ended up clarifying was that what they now decide they meant was when we said you couldn't attach a schedule, we didn't mean you couldn't attach a schedule. What we meant was you couldn't attach a schedule that didn't have all the information on the Schedule D-1, but if your schedule has all of that information, everything is fine and acceptable. That particular point came down in a set of what I would call talking points that were delivered under the signature of Cynthia Vanderpool of the IRS's office or national, the IRS Chief of Stakeholder Relations at the IRS's National Public Liaison Office. And that notice later was incorporated into guidance that we found at the IRS website later in the week. The IRS website gave updated and revised instructions to Schedule D that also reiterated the point that you could attach a paper attachment. However, as we discussed in last week's podcast, and as was discussed numerous times during the week in various sources, it was not clear what would happen for electronically filed returns. Because the problem is, since the IRS clarification made clear that you had to provide all details with the return, those who e-filed were somewhat concerned about what that might mean. For a paper-filed return, it was fairly simple. We could attach the paper forms to the paper return. But for an e-filed return, it's not so clear how we can do that. obviously we cannot attach paper to the electronic file going through. Paper and electronics don't travel down the phone line together. And the IRS e-file program for individuals is not the modernized e-file program that we have for corporations at this point. Therefore, that means that we do not have the ability to attach PDF attachments or anything of that sort to the file, even to the extent of where they might be approved attachments. Basically, under the current old software that's used for the individual's electronic filing, there is no method allowed for attachments of generic data, even in a format like PDF. So that left us with a minor problem. Well, as some preparers had suggested, perhaps the solution here was we attached it to the 8453. And that solution seems to make some sense, but the problem was there was nothing that specifically authorized that in the IRS instructions. In fact, in the list of acceptable attachments to an 8453 contained in the e-filing guidance for this year, we find nothing that suggests that a Schedule D1 substitute form is an acceptable attachment to an 8453. And as reported last week, the IRS insisted through last tax season that they only want an 8453 being sent in with the forms that were specifically listed as being acceptable for an 8453. So if that position continued to be the position of the IRS, and we continued with the position that we cannot submit summaries and have information be provided later, that left e-filers kind of out in the lurch. For an e-filer, you had to get all transaction data into the computer system and into the electronically filed document return simply because there was no way under those constraints to make an attachment to the return. In fact, earlier this week, CCH, in publishing an article on their federal tax day, had a case where an IRS representative appears to have been caught flat-footed on this issue. The CCH author appears to have asked the IRS individual, or it's reported, you know, what about e-filing? The individual responds, well, you can have up to 5,000 trades and still e-file a return. And then the CCH reporter apparently pushed slightly and said, well, now, does that mean on a separately prepared spreadsheet that's sent in with the return, or does that mean entered into Schedule D1? And the IRS representative said, oh, that means entered onto Schedule D1. Well, that didn't do much to make anybody feel good, obviously, because now it meant that if we were e-filing return, we had to enter the data all from scratch if we were going to follow that sort of guidance. The good news is the e-filing issue had been picked up in the tax press and even some of the public press, and the IRS was working on an issue at that point to deal with the e-file situation. This Friday, we found two sources of a new revised email, again from Cynthia Vanderpool. This revised email was identical to the email that was first floated a week ago that Norm Solomon had posted to Tax Talk, except one paragraph was revised and a new paragraph was added to the questions and answers. This particular revised version appeared nearly at the same time in two different discussion groups on Yahoo. The first revised version was posted by CPA Michael Wing, who had raised a question with an article that appeared the National Association of Tax Preparers had put out just before then, indicating that the IRS had approved paper attachments to an 8453 on an e-filed return. The article in question did not provide a source for that position, just merely stated the position. So Michael contacted the author and asked what was the source for that position. The author forwarded to Michael a statement, a copy of which is attached here on the back of the materials for this podcast, that contained the identical information we had seen the week before from the posting from Norm Solomon, except for these two revisions. Now, Michael at the time did a search, as did a couple of other people on the group, on the IRS website and still found no evidence of this position there. So discussion ensued as to whether this was really a change or whether it was going to stick. At the same time and independently, though, CPA Larry Hess of New Mexico posted to the Tax Talk group on Yahoo an email he received directly from Cynthia Vanderpool that had the identical language and the identical talking points regarding the use of the 8453. Therefore, it appears that we have the IRS again fixing and clarifying the issue to try and make the Schedule D matter go away. The good news is we may finally have a resolution to a problem that has dogged us for quite a while of how to handle Schedule D transactions with an electronically filed return, and we have finally gotten an official answer and official support for a position that the IRS has in the past not wanted to give. Why was the IRS reluctant to move here? Well, some speculation is in order because obviously we can't know for sure without sitting down and talking to all the parties involved. But the talk from those of us who have electronically filed, I think almost everyone who's electronically filed and actually used an 8453 or used very many of them, got used to with that particular form, which is the paper signature form for electronic filing, of after tax season getting a few notices every year from the IRS suggesting that the 8453 had not been mailed in. That was true even in cases where it was clear the 8453 had been mailed in. And the prevalence of this was much higher than the prevalence of the IRS just losing regular paper tax returns or any other correspondence. There was a relatively high, at least if you believe the reports we have from the field, a relatively high number of these documents just seemed to get misplaced by the IRS. For that reason, the IRS probably is not thrilled with the concept that this detailed Schedule D reporting is going to a place where they seem to have problems holding on to the document. As well, the IRS has been moving quickly to discourage the use of the 8453. Those who've been involved in e-filing the past couple of years have noticed the IRS pushes hard on preparers to do the, quote, true paperless e-file, unquote, using the PIN number. The 8453 solution removes that option. Basically, if we're going to use the 8453 to transmit the supporting detail, then we still have to use the paper form. But let's go, for now, to the guidance that we were given, and let's talk about what the change is. In the materials, we have put a box around the two paragraphs that were changed, that were involved in this particular issue that was discussed. The original guidance had said, and I have this in a footnote available, is there further guidance from the IRS in addition to the revised instruction? And that answer was yes. Taxpayers may submit attachments in lieu of completing lines 1 and 8 on Schedule D or D1 as long as the attachments contain all the required information are in a similar format. This means investors may follow the same format required of traders. End of discussion. Now the IRS has expanded that into two paragraphs. The first paragraph's question was now changed to, can investors use an attached statement like traders? And now there we have the answer. Yes, investors may submit attachments in lieu of completing lines 1 and 8 on Schedule D or D1 as long as the attachments contain all the required information in a similar format. This means investors may follow the same format required of traders. Basically, the same language, but with a quite slight change on the original question. Now a new question is added. Is there any further guidance for electronically filed returns? Now the new material. Yes. For electronically filed returns, filers may attach any necessary Schedules D1 or acceptable substitutes for Schedule D1 to the Form 8453 U.S. Individual Income Tax Declaration for an IRS e-filed return. So the IRS now has said it is acceptable to attach these documents. What's interesting is, in the past, when the IRS has discouraged this, it would indicate that previously that might not have been an acceptable method in their view. However, now that we have this and we were told that nothing has really changed, apparently the prior returns are now going to be kind of bootstrapped in. If you had previously filed using this method, you're fine. If you had previously filed using the other option that e-filers had tended to use, that of details will be provided upon request, your prior returns may have a problem. In fact, this particular guidance makes it clear that they assumed you'd filed the previous returns properly, and they assume all taxpayers gave the information needed. Whether the IRS will actually go out and want people who had filed without the detail to now amend their return and submit the details is open to question, although these talking points do seem to indicate that the IRS might want that sort of thing to be done. When it talks about previously filed returns and talks about the fact that you can amend the prior 3 years. Well, if that's true, if that's their point, they want them. That's an interesting question. If you had resolved this issue back when the IRS was dodging the issue by saying details provided on request or had submitted summary data. Now, there still are probably a few issues we'll need to worry about even with this guidance. A few commentators have worried about what the same format means. However, informal guidance has indicated that the IRS will be reasonable here, and that the IRS, by same format, has even, according to one report, would count if the short and long-term trades were not separately stated, but if they were indicated on the report, and the report gave summary totals of short and long terms. I have seen printouts from brokers that have looked like that, where the trades come in chronological order, and then they have S or L coding at the end, and at the bottom of the report, they do S and L. I would probably still prefer the report go in the same exact order as a Schedule D-1 to be safe under this guidance, but I suspect you can still argue substantial compliance even if it is not perfectly in line like the D-1. The IRS appears to be reasonable here, though we'll have to see how it really runs out. The other potential problem may come if you are filing a return for a taxpayer who has a state income tax return where the state gets the Schedule D information in detail, rather than simply grabbing a federal adjusted gross income number as a starting point and not having the detail with the return. For instance, Arizona does not have Schedule D detail generally submitted with an Arizona individual income tax return. As such, there's no e-file issue for Arizona. But in some other states, there is a Schedule D equivalent at the state level. Now, these are the federal rules for what needs to be submitted or can't be submitted. Preparers who prepare returns for states where the state return has its own Schedule D, perhaps because the state just likes separate reporting, the state often has a different basis, or the state gives different benefits to capital gains and therefore needs them broken down in a different format. Preparers will need to understand what the State Department of Revenue's position may be on this matter rather than simply assuming that if they're okay on the federal return, they'll be okay on the state. I would suspect, given the brouhaha that cropped up with the IRS when they went back and said you can't submit summaries, that no state agency is going to be crazy enough to want to step into the middle of this one. And in fact, the state agencies will most likely give an announcement that would allow you to do it in the same fashion. But it will be nevertheless important to check and make sure that happens. There may be an issue down the line if a state has never clarified where a taxpayer gets under exam in that state and then discovers they have an agent for the State Department of Revenue who is going to argue a similar position that we discussed the IRS could argue, that is, that no proper return was filed and therefore there is a balance due, or the tax, or there is a penalty due for the late filing of the return since they did not have proper information. The IRS obviously, I believe, underestimated the reaction to this one somewhat in a major fashion. But it appears by now they are essentially retreating. The good news is that this particular issue had been one that we had been seeking guidance on and we'd been seeking binding authority on for a long time. Now, a caution is in order. As of the moment, this particular email that has given us the okay on the 8453 still has not shown up on the IRS website with an official endorsement. What we have are a bunch of informal emails still going around. They are sourced from high enough in the IRS that it would appear they're going to stick, but as of the moment, we've not seen a revision to the IRS website. We would hope to see such a revision to the website or to some other published source of guidance that is officially acceptable for e-filing guidance for an e-filing preparer sometime in the next week or so. So it will be important to keep an eye out for that particular information. As well, hopefully this is the last podcast I need to do regarding the Schedule D reporting matter. As many of you may have noticed, this particular issue has cropped up in the press in a number of places. I've talked to a number of people about this particular issue, a number of reporters, and I have discovered that the podcast has been discovered by a few other people who cited it as part of their stories. We're going to be hopeful that this will be the end of this particular discussion and we can go on to actually deal with other more interesting tax matters without having to spend our time on this particular reporting issue. But nevertheless, this one is important to us and our clients simply because if in fact we have to give detail, that makes things a lot more complicated if that detail has to be reproduced line for line into the computer system than if we can submit the summary forms that have already been prepared or the forms that have already been prepared and report the summary numbers on the schedule. It certainly appears at this point that we have the go-ahead both for paper returns and for electronically filed returns to do just that. The IRS is on the record on their website for paper returns now for the update to the instructions page, has the updates there. And we can be hopeful that within the next few days, the beginning of next week, we will see the IRS website updated similarly to provide for this option. This has been the Tax Update Podcast for Saturday, January 14th, 2006. Tax Update is intended for those who can independently confirm this position, and in this case, it's important to be able to do it independently because this is a very fluid area, as you might expect. So I would certainly suggest if you are relying on this somewhere after January 14th, it's best to check and make sure nothing has changed. But this particular area is also not designed for those who are not capable of doing their own independent research. This podcast is brought to you by Limeburg Information Services, www.limeburgservices.com on the web. This has been the Tax Update for Saturday, January 14th, 2006.